Hey friend, it is Sarah, and before we get to today's episode, I want to invite you to a free masterclass I'm teaching on May 16th all about how to advance your career by treating it as a product. I have this philosophy that the most important product you will work on is you. And similar to a physical or digital product, in order to be successful, products need to be intentionally designed, and then they need intentional marketing and sales strategies to stand out to their customers. And in your case, that might be companies you're applying to, your boss, your colleagues, even freelance clients. So I would love to have you join me May 16 for this free masterclass. Just go to careerstrategylab.com/live workshop and RSVP. Hope to see you there. Hey there, I'm Sarah Duty, host of the Career Strategy Podcast. Many professionals are seeking more impact, flexibility, growth, and let's face it, getting paid what they're worth. But how do you unlock this in your career? It starts with strategy. I'm taking you behind the scenes of what's working for my career coaching clients. You'll hear strategies and actionable, yet sometimes against the grain, advice for how you can be the CEO of your career and stop dreading Mondays. Ready to level up your career? Let's get after it. Hey friend, before we get to today's episode, I want to let you know the doors are open for my upcoming UX portfolio sprint. You can think of this as your opportunity to make massive progress on your UX portfolio in just 3 weeks. With the help of myself, my team, along with our proven framework and template and toolkit that we've been using since 2017. Now, if you're interested, go to uxportfoliosprint.com. That's where you can find all of the details of what's included, who it's for, the schedule, reviews, answers to questions, and a lot more. I want to let you know, though, there's only 45 VIP spots available, which will get you access to our private community, all the live calls over the course of the sprint, our lightning portfolio critique sessions, and more. So visit uxportfoliosprint.com if you are at all interested, or if you have friends who are also wanting to make progress on their portfolios. This would be a great chance to join and do this together, so you can have a little bit of accountability as well. Doors will close for the UX Portfolio Sprint on March 22nd, and we will get started on Monday, March 25th. So visit uxportfoliosprint.com if you want to join us. I would love to see you and see all of the progress you will make in your portfolio. Hey friend, welcome back to Career Strategy Podcast. Today, I'm so excited because this episode has been on my mind for a while. It stems from a question I am asked all of the time. And I think it's because there's a lot of conflicting information about this. And the question is, what is the correct format for a portfolio? I get it. There's a lot of advice out there. It's hard to know what is believable, what is opinion, what is fact, etc. So today, I want to give you 6 things to think about to help you really be a little bit more strategic in whatever you decide is right for you. Because I think a lot of people are just hearing advice like your portfolio must be a website and not questioning it. And then 1 week, 1 month, 3 months later, they realize this is a lot harder than I thought it would be. Or I made my portfolio, but I'm not getting interviews. What's up with that? So I hope that you are able to think a little bit more strategically about this decision that you're going to make, because it does have a big influence on whether or not people really engage with and go through your portfolio. So let's dive in. The first thing I want to talk about before we get into these 6 things is to just remind you that your portfolio is a really critical part of the set of materials that form the first impression that people have about you. And whether or not you get an interview is very much dependent on this first impression. One mistake I see people make is that they jump right to the design of their portfolio and they don't think about really important decisions, such as not even the information in the portfolio, but what the format of it is. Is it a website? Is it a video? Is it a presentation? Is it hosted on a portfolio platform? All of these decisions are really important because some of the tools out there are easier to use than others, and there's implications to the end reader or user of your portfolio. So let's dive into these six things I want you to think about. Number one is time. A lot of people think that creating your portfolio, it must be a website. And I want you to think about the time, because if you've never made a website before, you might think it's going to be easy to use WordPress or Squarespace or something else. From my experience of helping people with their portfolios since 2017, I'm here to tell you that it is likely going to be not as easy as you think it is. There's probably a long learning curve, and your portfolio is not the time to learn to code. Many people have said to me, oh, well, I thought I needed to learn to code, so I'm going to use my portfolio as an opportunity to learn to code. And it's kind of like, why would you take a very important first impression touch point, your portfolio, and use it as an opportunity to learn to code? That is putting a lot of risk that potentially it's not going to be as strong as it could be if maybe it was a presentation, for example. So when it comes to a presentation and the time it may take you to make your portfolio, I think that presentation format, meaning a keynote, PowerPoint, something else, could be a lot faster because you are probably somewhat familiar with how to use Keynote, PowerPoint, Canva, whatever it is, right? And so if we're weighing the pros and cons of a website versus presentation, think about the time that it's going to take you. And maybe if you're already working on your portfolio, in hindsight, you're realizing whatever decision you made, it's taking you a lot more time than you imagined. So those are my pros and cons for PDF versus presentation when it comes to time. The second thing I want you to think about is cost. So a website, there's costs associated with that, right? There might be a domain fee, hosting fees, subscriptions to Squarespace, WordPress, whatever it is. If you're using a portfolio platform, there's probably a monthly or annual fee. A presentation, you can make that for free, right? If you have Keynote or PowerPoint on your computer, or you can even use a free version of Figma. So cost, if we weigh the pros and cons of website or presentation might be a little more affordable than website. I've heard this from people who originally created their portfolio as a website, but then after a year or two, they realized, wait a sec, this is costing me a lot of money to have this up here and all these fees and things. So maybe for you, that's not an issue, but it's definitely something to think about. The third thing I want you to think about is the ability for you to customize your portfolio for every job you apply to. And why would we do this? Well, for every job you apply to, there are probably things from your past experience or certain skills that might be more relevant to one job over another. And it's very important that you take the time to call this out in your portfolio through customizing it. Now, that might mean removing a project from your portfolio, adding one to your portfolio, could mean tweaking your About Me statement or something. And if we think of a portfolio as a website versus a presentation, websites are very difficult to customize. You essentially can't do it unless you make a whole other website for each job you apply to. And then there's probably more friction, right? Because you probably might password protect that website And all of a sudden, for the recruiter or hiring manager, viewing your portfolio becomes a little bit cumbersome. And for you, the time it would take you to kind of create a different website for every job you're applying to, that's why a lot of people don't customize their portfolio website, because they realize, wow, this is difficult, if not impossible, or going to take me so much time. On the flip side, this is where a presentation really can work to your advantage, because if your portfolio is a Keynote or PowerPoint or Canva file, whatever it is, you can just literally go to the menu in that software and say, you know, file, duplicate. In one click, you have a brand new version of your portfolio. You can customize it. So you could drag, you know, project 3 up to be in project 1 position. You could drag in a project that you didn't originally have in your portfolio, but you realize, no, this one that I have like over in this other document would be really great to add to this specific portfolio because it very much relates to the job I'm applying to. So when you have a portfolio as a presentation, that's one of the strengths of a presentation, is that it is much, much easier to customize than a website. Now, number 4, let's think of the kind of user experience if you do get interviews. So let's imagine you get an interview and they say, okay, in this next interview, you're going to present one of your projects from your portfolio and you'll have 20 minutes. Great. Okay. So if your portfolio is a website, I would ask you to just think through that user experience. Are you going to go to the interview and pull up your website in a browser and present that? Would that be a good experience? Are you going to start scrolling through that? Is it going to be easy for the reader or the person in the interview to kind of consume the information on that screen? Will it be big enough? Will they be able to actually see it? Or are you going to realize, oh, wow, I spent all of this time creating my portfolio website. Now I think I'm going to also make a presentation because that might be a better experience. And then you have to spend all this time to create this presentation. So that's one thing to think about. And I think one of the benefits of having your portfolio as a presentation is that you don't have to go make a presentation for an interview because you already had it, right? You can use that same portfolio that you applied to the job for as the same thing that you present in an interview. So you don't have to kind of scramble and make this additional asset that you can use if you're invited to interviews. Number 5, along the same kind of topic, in the interview, one of the risks, I think, and I guess not just in the interview, but one of the risks of having your portfolio be a website or on a portfolio platform is, what if the internet is down? Or what if that platform goes offline? What if you get to an interview and you go to the website to pull up your portfolio to start talking through a project and there's Wi-Fi issues or the browser isn't compatible or something? You don't want to risk tech glitches and not be able to bring up your portfolio website or have it look weird because they're using a browser that you didn't optimize for or something like that. With a presentation, as long as that presentation is saved on your computer and you bring that laptop to the interview, you'll have a copy of it. You don't have to worry about the website being down or something weird happening. Thinking about the potential of tech glitches is a real possibility. I've definitely heard stories of people saying they got to an interview and then like they could not pull up their website and that did not end well. So that's another thing to think about. The 6th thing that I want you to think about is, if you have a website, how accessible is that and does it work on mobile? Of course, accessibility and responsiveness are important, and you can definitely invest the time, and you should, to make your website accessible and optimized for mobile. The thing is, sometimes website builders and tools and things may not have accessibility and optimization features. I know a couple of them, I won't name them by name, but they took a really long time to kind of get up to standards with accessibility and responsiveness and things like that. Now, of course, a presentation, a PDF, is not ideal when it comes to accessibility and responsiveness, right? It's hard to make a PDF look good on an iPhone screen, for example. At the same time, I think we need to think of the users of our portfolio, the hiring managers, the recruiters, et cetera. And oftentimes people say to me, but what if they're viewing my portfolio on their phone? Of course, that is a possibility. But if your job is to be reviewing 10, 50, 100 or more applicants for positions you're hiring for, more than likely you're doing that not on your iPhone, right? You're probably sitting at a laptop, potentially with multiple screens, and you're going through candidates on a large monitor. So website versus presentation, they both have pros and cons when it comes to accessibility. If your argument is that, well, a PDF isn't accessible or readable on an iPhone, you've kind of lost sight of the bigger picture of who the users are, the stakeholders, the recruiters, the hiring managers, et cetera. And so I would just think about that. I realize there's probably many more questions and topics we could cover regarding the pros and cons of whether your portfolio should be a website or a PDF. And actually, one that I remembered that I will mention here is sometimes people say to me, okay, but with a website, my portfolio is then on the internet and it's in Google and people could find it because they're searching. That is true to an extent, but if that is the only reason you're making your portfolio be a website, because you think that you are going to be inundated with job opportunities because people are like finding you and organically reaching out to you about roles, that is possible, but you would have to have such great SEO to show up on that first or second page of Google search results that I think that is kind of a low likelihood. And if that's the only reason that you're making your portfolio be a website because you think, no, but people are going to discover me, that is not the greatest reason in my opinion. I think the pros of a presentation probably outweigh the time it would take you, the cost, et cetera, to make your portfolio be a website. If you have additional questions about this, feel free to ask me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to answer them there. We will link in the show notes to a post about this that I did on LinkedIn so we can kind of organize all the questions under one post. And I think that is all for today. I hope you learned something. I hope you are thinking differently about this big decision of what format your portfolio should be. And, you know, maybe if you are applying to jobs and not getting interviews and your portfolio is a website, maybe you need to go back and look at it and honestly think to yourself, in making my portfolio be a website, did the tool I made it in, that website builder or the platform or whatever it is, did it kind of hinder my ability to really tell the story of my skills and experience? And if so, maybe you want to consider making a presentation where you have more control over the layout and the design of what it literally looks like, because that can have a big impact on how long people spend on your portfolio getting to know about you and your experience. All right, so I look forward to hanging out with you on another episode very soon. In the meantime, have a great rest of your day. See you later. Thanks for listening to the Career Strategy Podcast. Make sure to follow me, Sarah Duty, on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or LinkedIn. If anything in today's episode resonated with you, I'd love to hear about it. Tag me on social media or send me a DM. And lastly, if you found this episode helpful, I'd really appreciate it if you could share it with a friend or give us a quick rating on Spotify or review on Apple Podcasts. Catch you later. Hey, friend, one last thing before I go. If you've been listening to this podcast and thinking to yourself that maybe Career Strategy Lab could help you get to that next level in your career, but you haven't reached out to us yet, or you're kind of on the fence about joining our 3-month program, then I'd love to invite you to have a one-on-one call with Becca on my team. Totally low-key, really an opportunity for you to ask the questions you need to ask to find out if joining Career Strategy Lab is the next logical step to help you reach whatever your career goals are. So if you want to chat one-on-one with Becca, then go to careerstrategylab.com/chat and book some time on her calendar. All right, talk to you later.